Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another week of the Revelation series. As you listen to me, it's Monday, September 25th, 2017, 2 days past the epic date of September 23rd. However, I am recording on Tuesday, September 19th, and so to me, the day has not appeared yet, so I cannot give you any impressions or any feelings that I got on that day. And I don't expect to get any feelings. I expect to see things begin happening. Someone wrote me and said, Martin, how are you saying that the 144,000 are sealed on September 23rd? Therefore, the snatching away would have to happen on September 23rd. For one thing, I never said the snatching away would happen on September 23rd. If you're watching this, it means that it hasn't. I said it could. From the beginning, I've given you four scenarios. One, 2.5 minutes from now. Two, September 23rd. Three, the beginning of the tribulation in 2021. Four, the middle of the tribulation 2024, right before the bad stuff really starts to happen. I've given you those four scenarios. I said it could happen on September 23rd, and I gave you the reasons why. Because the "and thus" gave us a little wiggle room there in Romans 11, 26. The "and thus" all Israel shall be saved. I told you that it didn't necessarily mean that it was something immediately following it. It could be stretched out, like the Wright brothers invented the airplane. And thus, we now fly across the country in 3 hours. That's, you can see it's separated by a great period of time. Or, I dropped the egg on the table and thus it broke. Okay? And thus, it's a consequence of an action, but it depends on the context of how close the consequence is to the action. How close the effect is to the cause. And in this case, it's just a little wiggly. We don't know for sure the timing. Okay? But we just know where we are on the map. We're very, very close. God has begun things. And also, I've always said, remember this, that I believe there will be an overlap. I think there already is an overlap, just like in the first century, between the body of Christ diminishing and Israel coming up. I think we'll see it. And maybe the callousness, maybe Israel being awakened, maybe that's not specifically the end of the callousness. Maybe it happens at the beginning of the tribulation. They're beginning to be awakened. I believe I'm using these terms throughout. The thing is starting. God has given a sign that now it's starting. It doesn't start and finish on the same day, even though things do happen rapidly. Things do happen swiftly. They still happen one thing after another. And which within their swiftness, they happen gradually. They don't happen suddenly. They happen swiftly. I hope I've made myself clear on that. All right, we're going to go back to Dr. Bullinger. I will be back with you live time, I think, on Wednesday. If I make another show before I leave for Indianapolis, I'll let you know that. That means you won't really hear from me post-conference until Thursday. That's the way it rolls. That's the way I have to do it. I want to make sure you continue to get these shows in my absence. Now, Dr. Bullinger says this, E.W. Bullinger Ethelbert. What does a W stand for? I'm not sure. Wigwam? Ethelbert Wigwam Bullinger says, he says this is what he says. He says, we find nothing in our Pauline church epistles. I hate the continuous use of the word church in there to describe the body of Christ because it's very confusing. Does the body of Christ have to go to church? What about the church in the wilderness? There are many churches in the scriptures. So I guess he does say our Pauline church epistles. I just hate that word church. It makes me nervous. So we find nothing in our letters written by Paul that fits into what is said to these assemblies, to the seven ecclesias. But those readers, the future readers of the future day, will be at once reminded of the various stages of their own past history. This is Jewish history. And you don't have to be a natural born Jew to understand Jewish history. Many of your friends, your church-going relations and family members and relations and your friends, they know Israel history. They know it better than they know the letters of Paul, and that should tell you something. I've been told they're just ignorant Body of Christ members. I say, no, they're not ignorant Body of Christ members. They are people born with an antenna for the circumcision gospel. They are either literal Israelites or proselytes of Israel. It works either way. However, we find nothing in our 13 letters of Paul that fits into what is said to these assemblies, but those readers will be at once reminded of the various stages of their own history. They will find in almost every sentence some allusion to the circumstances in which they will find themselves as described in this book. And I remind you that this letter is written to ecclesias, to outcalled groups of people in what was then Asia Minor. These people, even if John had sent them to his contemporaries, they were not in Jerusalem. How would they be affected by the destruction of Jerusalem? I mean, how would they be physically affected by the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus in 70 AD? If they're across the sea, remember the map I showed you? They're across the sea from Jerusalem. They're maybe 600 miles away. I don't know the distance. I didn't check it. Far enough away, Titus had no intercontinental ballistic missiles. Titus couldn't reach Asia Minor with a nuclear warhead, or a conventional warhead for that matter. He only wanted to destroy Jerusalem, and he did. So these people that John was, even if he was writing to his contemporaries, they would not be warned, need to be warned about the Roman armies coming to Jerusalem in 70 AD. What would they need to be warned about? The coming tribulation. And as Dr. Bullinger says, they will find in almost every sentence some allusion to the circumstances in which they will find themselves as described in this book. Bullinger goes on, we will show this first from the references made to their past history. And when we come to deal with these epistles separately, we will, in some circumstance in the apocalypse itself, give a reference to nearly every sentence in these seven epistles. Seven, really, they're not epistles. They're, well, yeah, they're letters, but they're very short letters to the ecclesias. Tell the ecclesias this. We're going to go through them, as Dr. Bullinger does, one by one. I've already read the passages to you. My Bible's here somewhere. I've already gone through, back in the bunker days in Brazil, we've gone through reading the actual passages. So I think now, for the sake of time, I'm simply going to comment on them. If you want to read them on your own as I go through this, then you can go to chapter 2. To the messenger of the ecclesia of Ephesus, write. And then he goes on and on to the one who is conquering, and to the messenger of the ecclesia of Smyrna, write. So chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation, you can read these. Now, this is what Dr. Bullinger says about Ephesus. In the epistle to the assembly at Ephesus, I prefer to call it a letter. Epistle is a little too much for me. The reference is to Exodus, to God's love in choosing them out of Egypt, and them, and then making them a nation. Hosea 11:1, quote, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. This will be near and dear to those Jews facing the tribulation, being once again in a wilderness. And in Ezekiel 16, there's a full description of the workings and outcomes of the first love. You know, I think I am going to read these because there are too many. This would be good for me to go back to these ecclesias as they're read about in the unveiling, to refresh ourselves, because we, I believe, will witness the beginning of the formation of these ecclesias, because I think there will be an overlap. I hope I'm wrong. I hope there is very little overlap. I hope we're gone 2.5 minutes from now. I'm tired of this life. I don't want it to go on anymore. It's enough. I think it's overkill. I got to tell you this for comic relief. was talking to a fellow believer, and we were joking about how, you know, now is a great time to be snatched away. Come on, Lord, September 23rd. That's not, again, I remind you, it's not a date of human invention. It's the only date ever set that's not set by human beings. It's set by the planets, by the constellations, by the sun and the moon. And the software Stellarium only discovered it. So it's not a human date, the only one that's ever been not of human origin. So nobody's setting a date here. The sun and the moon and the constellations are setting the date of September 23rd. Of course, you're post September 23rd. But I insist, something that was a signpost, something happened. Watch for it. So I completely forgot what I was talking about. What was I talking about? I should rewind this, find out what the hell I was talking about. Oh, yeah. Comic relief. So my friend and I are talking, and it's like, this is a great time for the snatching away. And we're saying, like, if months go by, a year goes by, then we're starting to look at the beginning of the tribulation. It's like, oh, you know, be a little disappointed, right? The beginning of the tribulation in 2021. So by that time, we're going to be like, when the snatching away, let's say the snatching away happens, then we're going to be upset that it didn't happen on September 23rd. And we'll all be like, Jesus is going to, like, I'm back for you. Here I am. Yay. And we're going to all rise in the air with our arms crossed, like looking down. It's like tapping our foot. Yeah, this would have been a lot better 3 years ago. You really missed your cue. This last night, we're going to be disappointed. Like, you know how when you're looking forward to your husband or wife coming back from the airport or something, you can't wait to see him, or they're coming back from a business trip, and you have flowers ready for them, you can't wait to see them, then they're like 3 hours late and they don't tell you. Then by the time they do get home, it's like, where the hell have you been? And you're really pissed in the mess. What happened to lovey-dovey? What happened to lovey-dovey? So it's the same thing, you know, we're like rising in the air. It's like, it's a little too late. We were expecting this on September 23rd. Look, I don't want any of you to make this mistake. Can you imagine that? Just scowls looking down. Jesus is all excited. He's like, what? What? This would have been better 3 years ago. It was perfect. The timing, all that. Come on. No, it's going to be perfect. And I don't want you to be so crazily, like, disappointed. Nobody's saying, has said that's the date. It could be. Anyway, we're close. Don't worry about it. God's timing is perfect. Believe me, everything he does in your life, if you remember this, is perfect. You look back and you say, oh yeah, I see why that happened. Oh, I see why that happens on that day instead of that day. I see why I met this person. I see why I went to the grocery store that day. I met this person. Every detail is perfect. So don't think that the snatching away is going to be 1 minute late. So that's why I don't want you to go up on a hill. Even if September 23rd's passed here, it's fine. It's fine with me. It's just more opportunities to get the books out, make more shows, get more First Idiots out. That's the way I look at it. I'm still praying for it to be 2.5 minutes from now, but I said, thy will be done. Not my will, thy will be done. That's what you have to say. So back to, oh yeah, we're going to read these Ecclesias. We're going to go here to Revelation chapter 2, to the messenger of the Ecclesia in Ephesus write, now this he is saying, who is holding the 7 stars in his right hand, who is walking in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I like this. They might not need my show after all. If Jesus Christ is walking around, yeah, I wouldn't mind if somebody said, hey, you got to watch this Zender video. This is awesome what this guy made during the final years of Millennium 6. And this guy says, well, Jesus is over there and he's giving a PowerPoint presentation. So I think I'm going to go listen to Jesus. And the guy will say, this Zender guy. No, come on, let's go to, I'd be fine with that. I wouldn't be upset in the least. I'd be upstaged by Jesus Christ. That's fine. So he's walking in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. And he says this in verse 2. Would that be handy? Why the hell would you even need the book of Revelation? In what way is he walking? Is this literal? Capital H, who is holding the 7 stars in his right hand, was walking in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. And the golden lampstands are the Ecclesias, walking in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. All right, I think I might have this. I might have this. It was said that God walked in the garden with Adam, and yet no one's ever seen God, so how can that be? God disguises himself. He puts another being there who perfectly represents him. The Son of God probably was the Son of God walking through the garden with Adam, Jesus Christ, in a different form. Remember, he can take all different forms. Even after his resurrection, he looked one way to his disciples, another way to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. All right? So Jesus is tricky that way. So God talked to Adam, but it was a representation of God, but it was such a perfect representation, probably the Son of God, that you could rightly say God spoke to me. If you've like a ambassador to a foreign country saying, if you've heard me, you've heard the president. Oh, really? You're the president? No. But I perfectly articulate the president's agenda, the president's message. So whoever is walking among the ecclesia, it could be Jesus himself. But this is the thing. On the road to Emmaus, he didn't blow their minds with supernatural secrets. He's walking with them on the road to Emmaus. He disguises himself, looks like an ordinary traveler, so that they talk to him as though he's an ordinary traveler, because he is. And he expounds to them the scriptures. He takes them through the Old Testament and shows them, oh, he says, oh, foolish and tardy of heart to believe all that is written. And then he takes them through the scriptures, showing them probably through in the Psalms, in Isaiah, how he is the Messiah, how this Jesus that they're talking about was and is the Messiah. So if even Christ himself is walking among these ecclesias, he's not like this Glinda Wizard of Oz bubble floating around. He's dialing himself back big time. He looks like oh, what they dis who was it? Was it Mary Magdalene thought that on his day of his resurrection that he was the gardener? She thought he was the gardener. The resurrected Christ. Excuse me, are you the resurrected Christ or are you the gardener? I'm not sure. Why aren't you sure? Because he dialed it back. He dialed it back. So he's walking among the ecclesias in the future. He's dialing it back. They might not even know it's him, but he's reading basically them this letter. Because he's saying this to them as he's, but he's saying, get this, he's saying the exact words that appear in this letter. So it's like he's a living letter. He might be walking like, why wouldn't he be doing like what he did on the road to Emmaus? He's not giving them mind-bending truth, blowing everything up with a 400 tons of TNT revelation. No, he's reading revelation to them. Gather round, my children, I shall tell you a tale written so long ago by your forefather John. And this is what he wrote. It was the night before Christmas and all through the house. And so he's reading them this account, which I think is great. And he's way dialed back, which is what he does for the circumcision. Not with us. With us, we're going to see him glorified, brighter than the noonday sun. Walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, that is the ecclesias. I'm aware of your acts and your toil and your endurance. He's going to actually say this to them. This is so cool. And they'll be like, as he's saying it to them, I'm aware of your acts. Somebody's going to be looking at a concordant version of the unveiling. Oh my God, he's quoting this exactly. He's quoting the exact text here in verse 2. They're going to say, this is Revelation 2:2, what we're hearing. And some other guy who's in the know, or some girl probably, is going to say, well, we are the future ecclesias that John was writing to. And so John, being a prophetic type of experience, went in spirit to the Lord's day. John was already here. John was already here, and he already saw this. And so he listened to what we're now listening to. And then when he came back to his time, he wrote it down. So of course it's going to be word for word. And the guy's going to go, I'll have to think about that. I'm going to think about that one for a while. But it makes sense to me, even. And I'm not that bright, and it makes sense to me. So I think they're going to get it. I'm aware of your acts, your toil, your endurance, and that you cannot bear evil men. And you try those sayings that they themselves Oh, you try those, saying that they themselves are apostles. So that's a great characteristic. You try those that say they're apostles and they're not, and you found them false, and you have endurance, and you bear because of my name and are not weary. This is a great trait. So these people that I told you, birds of a feather flock together. That's why each gathering, each outcalled people at each different town, each different conclave here, they all have their own specific message, because somehow they're gathered together. So birds of a feather flock together. The message given to them is appropriate to all of them, which is, you might call it somewhat miraculous. I don't. It's just that if you're a Baptist, you gather in a Baptist church and you're going to hear a Baptist message. If you're a Pentecostal, you gather in a Pentecostal type church and you're going to hear a Pentecostal message. And if you're Catholic, you are going to hear a Catholic mass, man. My word of mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. And it's gonna go, oh, that's so spiritual. Ooh, that feels good. So you're gonna hear what your ears are tuned to hear. Same with these ecclesias. The people who have gathered together are birds of a feather, and whatever message comes to them is gonna jive with them, and they're gonna dig it. So these are the good people that gather together, and they had recognized false apostles, and this is going to be critical. And this is where Israelites are darkened right now, and all of Christianity is darkened right now, because they are heaping up for themselves teachers in accord with their own desires, and so they don't recognize false apostles. These who have begun to be enlightened back on September 23rd, they're now going, yeah, these are false apostles. They're telling us, they're giving us cotton candy messages. They're giving us prosperity messages. They're giving us messages of supernatural deliverance, where we know we're going through the indignation. We have Jesus Christ here. He is our model. He's our head. He's the one he's the forerunner. He went through the veil before us, and look how he did it through suffering. So we are probably going to enter into suffering, yet he is faithful to keep us. Wow. Those are all such mature thoughts. Those are all such wonderful. Finally, proper Israelite thoughts, proper Jewish thoughts. None of this stuff about I'm going to be the head of all the nations, and this pride, I'm circumcised. Yeah, as I told you, circumcision was supposed to be an embarrassment. You're supposed to squeak like a mouse. I'm circumcised. My God, how did this happen? It's supposed to be an embarrassment to keep you humble. You're not supposed to brag about it, but they did, because right now they're not too bright. But that has changed. As you're listening to me on September the 25th, that has changed. And things are beginning to happen.